to the glory, God my Father. To the glory of Jesus, His blessed Son. To the glory of the Holy Spirit, power and honor to the three in one. I will praise Him early in the morning. I will praise Him when the day is done. I will bless Him with all that is within me. I will keep His blessed name upon my tongue. To the glory of God my Father. To the glory of Jesus, His blessed Son. To the glory of the Holy Spirit, power and honor to the three in one. I will thank Him as I lay up on my pillow. I will praise Him for the wonders He has done. For from death and hell He brought me back to His kingdom. He's a tower where this little child can run. To the glory of God my Father. To the glory of Jesus, His blessed Son. To the glory of the Holy Spirit, power and honor to the three. To the glory of God my Father. To the glory of Jesus, his blessed son. To the glory of the Holy Spirit, power and honor to the three in one. To the glory God, my Father,
chapter this morning, what I feel that the Lord has laid on our heart for this service. This will be a two-part service. We'll have the second part tonight, if the Lord allows and willing. Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, and verse number 5. He said, if thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace, wherein thou trusteth, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to stand here in this sacred place, God, to break bread with my brothers and sisters and with you. I thank you for your presence here, Lord. I acknowledge you. I acknowledge the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Father, I acknowledge the precious blood of Jesus that cleanses us all. Father, help us this morning to hear what the Word is saying to us. We have an ear. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, to each one of us that are here today. Father, this Word comes because we have come here today. It's not for the one next to us, but for us individually. And Father, we just love you and we praise you today for the glorious presence and the opportunity to be here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Look at the one next to you and ask them, what stirs you? What is it that makes you tick? What stirs you? Here in this verse, he's saying here, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses when they get the chariots out? I mean, if the just a little footman is giving you a hard time, and you can't hardly serve God for the little footman, what you going to do? What you going to do when the chariots come out? If you can't serve God in a time of peace, what you going to do at the swelling of Jordan? What you going to do in those times? I see people that just barely hangs on to God, and rather than getting in God and just being all that you can be in God, they just kind of hang on to the sides and, you get on over in the boat. Amen. Reminded of the story there where the 10 lepers came as Jesus walked by and he said, Lord, have mercy on us. And said, what you want? He said, we'd be cleansed. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible said, as they went, they were cleansed. One of them came back to thank him. Jesus looked at that one and he says, in Luke's gospel, the 17th chapter, verse 17, he says, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Down through my years of being a Christian, almost 30 years now, but I have seen a lot of people come and get saved. I've seen, seen some of them have tears in their eyes. Some of them didn't. Some of them come and they say, I want to serve the Lord and I want forgiveness of God. And, they'll hang for a while and they're gone through the years. And I ask the same question, were there not 10? But where are there 9 at? Amen. Where are all those that said, I want to do a work for God? Where are they at this morning? Where are they at? Amen. That's what Jesus was saying here. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are they at if they was cleansed? Where are they at? See, many are like Peter today. Peter, when Jesus was talking about, telling about him being going to be crucified, and Peter, with his Pharisaical Christianity, stood up and he says, Lord, says, I'll go to prison and even death with you. And that's what so many in the church world do. I want to be a Christian. I'm going to do a great work for God. Amen. But before the next morning, the sun rose. Before the next morning, the cock hadn't even crowed. The third time, he's already denied him. Or first time, he's done denied him three times. Amen. As I've seen people that come and I want to do a great work for God. I want to do something for God. And lo and behold, you know, before you turn around, good, they done long gone. You know, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9 at? I want to live right for God. I want to change my life. And then before the next day comes, they done back doing their own things all over again. Amen? How many would sell out on God before the end? How many maybe in this room here today? I'm not preaching across the street or down the street. I'm preaching in here this morning. I want to ask us in here this morning, because every one of us has seen people come and go. But I ask you, how many of us sitting in here will sell out before the end comes? Sell out on God. Are we going to make it to the end? Think about it. He says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, he says, then how are you going to contend with the horses? I mean, when the storms come, the horses means the storms of life come. When the sun is shining pretty and I mean, you know, living for God is easy. Amen. What you gonna do in times when persecution comes? I mean, if you can't sell out to God and put Him first in your everyday ordinary life and everything that we do, just ordinary routine things, then how? What are we gonna do when situations comes or temptations to try to lead us aside? What are we gonna do then? That's what He's telling us. That's what He's saying to us here. He says in Proverbs in the 24th chapter in verse 10, he said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Amen. In other words, if someone every other day licks the red off your candy, your strength is small. You don't have much to start with. Come on. I mean, if you're up one day and down the next, you didn't have much to start with. If you're tossed to and fro by every little wind of doctrine that comes along, you don't have much to start with. Your strength is small. Amen. Your strength means your vigor, your force, your substance is small in God. That's the problem. Most people get enough of God to make them miserable. Amen. It's kind of like I'm from Georgia and I had a lot of barbed wire fences over there and people try to straddle the fence. You know, they want to be over in this field and they want to be in this field. They want to be in the church and they want to be in the world. And they try to balance on that old barbed wire fence and all the time it's cutting them and poking them. It's miserable. We're going to have to get on one side or the other. Amen. Not every other day be one thing, something else. He said, Hebrews the 12th chapter in verse 1, he says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. I told you Wednesday night what weights do. Weight will pull you. Amen. It'll pull you one way or the other. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Sister Connie taught us the other Sunday night about them little pet sins. Amen. What you call them? Besetting sins, pet sins is what she said. Get you a CD. Amen. If you wasn't here, even I'm only talking to the visitors now. You wouldn't hear because you didn't know about it. But all you old timers, shame on you if you wasn't here. Don't get one. Just do without. Go hungry. No, I'm just kidding.
and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with what? Patience. Amen. The race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, everybody say it, endured the cross. You think that he loved going to the cross? He endured the cross not for himself, but for me and you. Despising the shame, because he said, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree of the cross. He became a curse for me and you. Galatians 3:13 tells us that. He says, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Amen. When's the last time that somebody's cut you with a knife for witnessing about Christ? When's the last time you've actually bled or been beat or thrown in prison somewhere for preaching the gospel? Come on. When's the last time somebody slapped you or threw rocks at you for telling them about God? Come on. I don't think we're none hardly guilty in here this morning, because we don't really do what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. I'm asking you, what stirs you? Most of us could go and lay down beside sin and not even be bothered by it this morning in here. I said us. Come on. We see sin all around us and never open our mouth to say a word about it, because we're not stirred. Amen. Well, Brother Dave, I pray for them. That's good. Be warmed and filled in the name of Jesus. James talks about that, don't he? Amen. Well, Brother Dave, I want him to like me. Well, Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Come on. You got friends that rather you lie to them than tell them the truth? Amen. That's crazy, isn't it? The Bible is full of examples of people. People. It said, I mean, you think about people that has brought this gospel to me and you. I mean, you ought to just read the whole book of Jeremiah sometime. The man was known as the weeping prophet. It was like he was the only one that was a preacher of righteousness, and everybody else wanted to go the other way. They wanted the world, but Jeremiah just kept preaching it. Come on. They tell him often, quit prophesying to us the things of God. They didn't want to hear it. They took him one time, and they took him and lowered him down into the dungeon with cords. And he said there was no water in there, and they lowered him down into the mire. He's down in this old muck because he's preaching the gospel. When's the last time me and you been lowered down into muck because we preached the gospel? Come on, when's the last time we offended somebody to the good of the gospel? When's the last time? Well, Brother Dave, I want them to like me. Go ahead, Absalom. You don't know who I'm talking about? Study your Bible. I ain't going to explain it. Amen. He said, I'm stirred. Amen. You want to come up here and preach sometime, you get stirred. Amen. In fact, some of you ought to be preaching by now, ought to be up here preaching the gospel. Brother David, you ain't come ask me. I ain't come and ask you. You come and ask me. Brother David, I got a word from God I need to deliver. Amen? Brother Johnny Hilton called me the other day, and he said he had a word that he felt like was for the church. And he said, and I told him I'm going to put together a revival in. And I told him, I said, probably going to wait till after the first year now, since it's getting into the holidays. But he said, that sounds good to me too. Maybe put together a meeting with different preachers after the first year. Y'all be praying. Amen? Amen. We need to be ready for revival when it comes. He says, listen, He said in Acts in the 15th chapter, verse 26, he's talking about Paul and Barnabas. He said, men that have what? Hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My God, if we don't have something decent to wear to church, we won't go. Or if we feel like a little bitty backache, or we feel like, you know, I think I'm going to get a headache, so I ain't going to go. When's the last time we've hazarded our lives? Amen. Amen. Oh, Paul, he said, you read it when you get home in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. He talks about some of the things that he endured. You know, had to go through to get this gospel to me and you. Now, if he had just stopped and died and just, you know, the footman worried him and he just sat down and quit on God and didn't, you know, get this gospel through the prisons and through the stonings and through the beatings and through the shipwrecks and through the, you know, night and days in the deep and through, you know, dangers of his own countrymen to get this gospel to me and you, we wouldn't have it. But he lists a whole list of stuff that he endured to get this gospel to me and you. And then he said, beside all those things, he said, that cometh upon me daily, verse 29. He said, the care of all the churches. He said, I had to go after getting out of prison and being in a darkened prison where he said, Philippians, I see how big a writing I write. And it's not that his eyes was bad, but he was in a dark dungeon writing the gospel to write and send to the Philippian church to try to encourage them. Come on. Come on, church. Try to encourage them. You can make it. You can make it. Here's a man that's been through beatings and shipwrecks. He's stirred in the prison and trying to stir the people sitting out in the church. Come on. He said, who's weak? He said, I'm not weak. Who's offended? I burn not. Come on. Is that you today? Amen, amen. See, in the last days that we're living, how many believe we live in the last days? How many do you believe are selling out on God in the church world today? I've been around church all my life. Now, when I got to my youth where I thought I knew everything, come on. And I got me about 17, 18 years old. Hey, I can conquer the world. I know everything now. Some of y'all did too, didn't you? I went out like the prodigal son and wasted my living on righteous, you know, I ain't hurt this on righteous living. I got down to the hog pen, and thank God that day I was in the hog pen, Brother Chet, that God came, put his arms around me and said, boy, I got something better for you than what you live in. I dropped the pail, jumped the rail, and hit the trail. Amen. Glory to God. He said in Jeremiah in the 5th chapter, we're talking about selling out on God. He says in verse 30 of the 5th chapter of Jeremiah, a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. I believe you can say it about America today, the church world today. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Oh, they flock to it because they love to have it so. Oh, that's what we like. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He says, listen, he said, Isaiah the 30th chapter in verse 8, he says, now go write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people. He's talking to church people here. Lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Which say to the seers, see not. Don't see the things of God that you tell them to us. Just tell us anything. And to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Then he said, speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. And the people love to have it so. Huh? That don't stir you. It makes me angry. Yea, I say unto you, I have warned you more than once in this church. I have warned all over the land that when I speak, you must speak what I speak. Your words should be my words. Do not make words up to tickle their ears, to know them, to understand them, but speak my word that they would understand me and they would know my ways and they would turn from me. Do not follow those who speak evil and do not follow those who speak contrary to my word. For my word does not change, but the day is here and is among you and walking among you where they will change the word and they will lead you astray. But I say unto you, humble yourself before me. Repent of your ways. Come unto me. I will be your God and you shall be my people. But if you follow another, you shall not be my people, saith the Lord. Oh, glory to my God. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Say, God, forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, God. They say, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Verse 11 says, get you out of the way. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. Turn aside, they say, out of the path. What path? The old paths. They removed the cornerstones, the landmarks that were set down for years ago. He said, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. In other words, take holiness away from us. Do you know why people go where the truth is not preached? Let me ask you something. Do you know why people actually go where they know the truth is not being preached? It's because they love to have it so. Amen. He says in Micah in the second chapter, we're talking about this morning, what stirs you? Does sin stir you? Micah, the second chapter, verse 11, he says, if a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. They say, he is the man. He's the man. Because he'll preach that you could do anything you want to do and go to heaven. Last time I checked, it was a straight gate and a narrow way. And the way that leads to destruction is a broad way. Y'all young people go to the bathroom one at a time. Thank you. I'm an old man and I don't have to go that often. He says, he's the man. That's what the world said. He's the man. And they flock to it. But I like what old brother Paul said to us. He said in 2 Timothy 4:2, he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. He said, preach the word. He didn't say, preach Reader's Digest. Didn't say, preach your opinion. He didn't say, preach how they like it. He didn't say, preach them to shout. He said, preach the word of Almighty God. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out. Be the same. When you in church or out of the world, be the same. Be instant in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. For the time will come, and we're living in that day. We're living in that will come. Someday, that they will not endure sound doctrine, sound instructions, but will after their own lust heed to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears from the truth, be turned into fables. We're living in that day, church. You can go in most churches around, preach anything, they say hallelujah to it. Well, what did he say? I don't know. He talked loud and fast. Said, Brother Dave, you're loud and fast too. Yeah, but I give you scripture. I give you scripture. I give you lots of them. A lot of you go in and you get one little piece of bread. You get one little cold roll. And most time it's watered down. Glory. Help us, Lord. It's in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Wow. I mean, isn't that bold in your face? Well, I hear what the Bible says, but I ain't doing that. Man, you get rest for your souls. I mean, everlasting life. I don't believe you got to live it like that, Brother David. Well, what are you going by? Well, my opinion, what I feel. I just follow my heart. Oh, you do? Because in your mind, just spell shop. Shop. In your mind, spell shop. What do you do when you come to a green light? How many said stop? You go on a green light, don't you? When you follow your heart, it could be wrong. You could actually be wrong. Wrong? Wrong? What is that word? Wrong? Nothing's wrong. Anymore, Brother David? Oh. Verse 17, he said, also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Wow. Preachers got an easy job now, don't they? Huh? They ain't going to do it anyhow, so why preach it? So just close out the Wednesday night service and Sunday night service. And don't close that Sunday morning. Got to get your tithes. That's the only reason they have it on Sunday morning is get that tithe. I don't know. I might be wrong on that. Brother David, y'all the only church. Oh, I'd be a fool to say that. There's millions of good, wonderful churches and church people and preachers in the pulpit. There's millions of them all over the world. Amen? I hope and pray. Amen. John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him, you got to be in him, not believe on him, but in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now verse 19, listen close. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
I was talking to a fella the other day, and he's a nice fella. And he's telling me, he asked me what I do. I said, I'm a pastor, I preach. He said, oh, really? What kind of church? And I told him, oh, that's great, that's great. He told me he was brought up in Pentecostal church. And he said, I've been looking for one. I said, good, you found one. And they're talking about coming, but they don't live close here now. But he said, got talking about it. He says, all my brothers was preachers. I said, what happened to you? He said, I don't know. He said, but I try to do good and live right and do what's right and live good and be a good person. I said, you know what the problem with that is? Doing all that and still have to go to hell. That's a shame, ain't it? He said, I know it. So he knew it. It's not how good we are. It's the blood of Jesus that gets us to heaven. And when we get the blood, then we'll do what's right. You know, when we get, you know, in Christ, we'll do what's right because we're led by the Spirit of God. But just being good won't get us there. Just doing what's right won't get us there. Though you'll get some reward for doing what's right. Amen. But you won't get there to claim it, so old Dave's going to get them from you. Thank you. Y'all just keep doing what's right and good. If you don't ever get saved, you know, I hope you get saved. But if you don't, you know, if anybody's in here lost and you don't never get saved, but just try to be good and do right things and help others. And you'll be getting rewards even for that. But look, I'll get there and get them. And you won't get there and get them. They're going to be mine. Y'all ain't with me this morning. I'm going to have to come out there. Hey, y'all with me this morning? Y'all hear me? My microphone on? I love y'all. You know that. Boy, that was weak. Josh, you know I love you, don't you? Amen. All right. God is so good. He says, again, Jeremiah 12:5, he says, if thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee. What you going to do in the storm? I mean, come on, just every day. I mean, look. I mean, I don't want to meddle this morning. Lord, help me. I'm trying to be a nice guy up here this morning. Too late. All right. Look at the one next to you and say, what stirs you? What would get you actually spiritually angry? Paul in Acts in the 17th chapter went over there and he's waiting on some of the brothers to get there. And he's walking around Athens and he's just kind of looking around at all the deceit and all the stupidity and all the, you know, crazy stuff that's going on there. And thinking in the name of religion, in the name of worshiping God, all these idols. They had idols to everything they could think of, and even had one with an unknown name in case they missed one, you know. And it said in verse 16, he says, now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Just change city to church. When the church and the church world is wholly given to idolatry, does that stir you? Come on. Well, what did he do? Well, he just knelt down and prayed, Lord, help him. Lord, no, 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 no. Read it when you get home. Paul had a manner about him, amen, as his manner was. Amen. He had a manner about him. Oh, Jeremiah, you know, they was always on him. They was always on him. They would talk about, one time they, excuse me. They was talking about, you know, how that they, he said, I was in a derision daily in Jeremiah the 20th chapter. He said, a derision, you know, in other words, they was mocking him. They was laughing at him and calling names and you know, just doing
all kind of things against him every day, like he was an idiot for believing the way he's believing and all this kind of stuff, you know. And they was always telling him, quit, you know, prophesying that way. Man, you're wrong and all this kind of stuff, you know. They was even defaming him. In other words, they were slandering him. Some of them would say, report, and we'll report it. In other words, just make up something bad about Jeremiah and we'll spread it around town. I mean, can you get a picture of Jeremiah? He was like a man without a country. He was like a lone ranger. If you run with the footmen, they weird you. How can you go contend with the horses? And old Jeremiah got no place. What time it just so loaded down, you know, that he just sat down. Was it verse 9? Is that where it says 20 and 9? He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shed up in my bones. Amen. And I was weary for my forbearing and I could not stay. Amen. He was weary because he sat down. He wasn't weary because of them. He was weary because he sat down. He said, this ain't going to work here. Man, there's a fire. Fire will move me. And he was stayed stirred because the fire of the Lord stirred him. I don't care what that one says and this one says. I care what that one says. God, I'm here not to please you or you or you or you, but I'm here to please him. I can't say what you want to hear and what you want to hear. I got to say what he wants to hear. Amen. Glory to God. What's wrong with the church? They've lost their fire. What's wrong with the church? They've lost that stirs them. Come on. They've lost their Holy Ghost boldness. They've lost their backbone. Come on. Most of the Pentecostal, true Pentecostal. I ain't talking about a charismatic movement bunch out there. I'm talking about the true stuff. Got the goods. Ashamed of it. Come on. Paul says, listen, he said, Romans 1:16, he said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Goes on in verse 17, said, for therein is the faith of God revealed. I mean, the power of God revealed from faith to faith. Amen. Glory to God. Let me tell you what the church needs is what David had here. The psalmist, he said in Psalms 119, 136, he said, rivers of water ran down mine eyes because they kept not the law. Most people want the church to let down so that they'll feel home. Huh? Well, not talk about it, but pray. Let tears come in our eyes. Amen? And then go to them. Amen? Psalms 119 verse 158, he says, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. Dragging it into the, quote, church. Amen. Numbers, over in Numbers, the 25th chapter, talking about, we're talking about what stirs you. Numbers in the 25th chapter, Moses had give a command from God. Fellas, don't y'all get on them Moabite wives. Don't be dragging them in here because they serve other gods. Don't be bringing that stuff into the camp. Even in Joshua's day, they still drug stuff in, didn't they? Achan. I mean, don't listen to the men of God. I ain't listening to what he has to say. That's rebellion. There's no skin off my nose, is it? But Moses already told him, instructed them, don't do this. They went ahead and started doing it, and people started dying. Plague came in. They even got so bold. In verse number 6 of the 25th chapter, it says, and behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought and unto his brethren a Midianite woman in the sight of Moses. No respect. and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They was in the church where was praying, God, help us, Lord, this plague, help us. Lord, forgive us of our sin, forgive us of our sin. And they was weeping and praying and repenting. And there comes one with his audacity to come and walk in the midst with that they was praying against. The very thing. Verse 7. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation and took the javelin in his hand. Verse 8. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent and thrust both them through, the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. What are you saying, Brother Nate? We need to go kill them. No. But my friend, we need to, with the Holy Ghost boldness, let them know our standard and what we believe. And we don't believe that junk. If God says don't touch it, don't touch it. Don't bring it around me. Oh, but Brother David, all the other churches embrace the world. We'll let them embrace the world. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah.
$24,000 died. How many will die before we stand up, church? How many will we let slide through into hell? If you was in a house and it was on fire, and you was asleep, and I rode by, and I said, well, I would go wake them up, but I don't want to impose on them. Don't want to bother them. Would that be the right thing? I go up there and I say, well, I try to wake them up. Is that the way we'd do? We'd be throwing rocks through the windows. We'd be hollered. We'd be beaten, taking boards and knocking on the door. Get out of that house! Wake up! Wake up! Well, friend, we're just talking about the flesh burning. What about the soul burning in hell? We got our own loved ones. There's some of our own loved ones that we never mentioned God to. Well, I don't want to upset. Upset them! Upset them! Sister Connie had a cousin. Her dad's sister, boy, has died in his sleep this week. Said he hadn't ever come to breakfast and wondering what's going on. Going to check on him. He's laying there in the bed dead. Well, Brother Dave, it won't happen to me. Well, I'm glad you got that promise. And you know for certain that's not going to happen to you. And you're going to live a long life. I told a fellow one time, and he was telling me that another guy that he told me had heard somebody say that after the rapture of the church, there's 7 years of tribulation, and we know it's true. He said, I'll just wait around to get saved till when I see the church raptured, and then I'll get saved then. I know I've got 7 years before the end, and I'll get saved then. I'm giving me scripture here. He said, man, if you can't serve God now in the peacetime, how are you going to serve it in tribulation? I mean, come on. How are you going to do that? You know? It's crazy thinking, isn't it? Plus, you got to come when the Lord calls. We don't wake up one morning and say, hey, I think I'll get saved today. Don't work that way, friends. It's when the Lord deals with your heart. Might be in a forum like this right here. It might be riding down the road. Might be at your home beside your bed. It's when God deals with your heart. You need to listen. You need to listen. What stirs you, church? Almost finished. Listen. I remember, you know, we're talking about here, 24,000 died in this plague here. And how many will die in the church world before the church world repents? A few months ago, I was brought up in the Church of God. In fact, we've got the same teachings here of the old teachings the Church of God used to have. And the book that I take people in, that's the Church of God Minutes book. And I went to a memorial thing. They call us up and come my sister's a letter and they want to have a memorial. My dad passed away and want to honor him for all the years of service, preaching, 60 years. And so Brian and I went out to the camp meeting out there around Atlanta, Georgia. Now, mind you, I used to go to camp meetings, the Church of God, Georgia camp meetings when I was a little boy. Man, I'd see him shouting, praising God. I mean, awesome times out there under that tabernacle. And Brian and I went in, and they had 11 ministers that had died during from one camp meeting to another, and they was honoring all of them. And they was taking in 12 new ministers. Well, so-called ministers. Let me thank you. And there was it was at a camp meeting. A far cry from when I was a little boy. The preachers they was taking in, their wives get up there with them. And I'm comparing Mama Rosetti to these, you know. Some of y'all knew my mama. One of the pastor's wives got up there, her dress is like this right here. Stuff all over them. I said, my, my, my. No wonder there's no anointing. It reminded me of Joshua. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You serve him, other gods on the other side of the flood. The generation that knew God knew the things of God. It died off in another generation in Judges 2 and 7. Another generation that came up that did seen the things of God. They never knew them, but they seen them. But in verse 10, that generation died in another generation that knew not the things of God. That's where we at today, friends. They're groping in the dark. They know not the things of God. They're groping in the dark. Oh, follow me. I'm led by the Spirit. That's where we at, friends. My dad is telling me this has been some years back. He saw a fellow up in Commerce, Georgia, and got talking to him. He said he is the youth pastor at Commerce Church God. And dad said, "You are." Had a pack of cigarettes right there in his pocket. What's he teaching the youth? Moses on the mountain. Thank God for men like Moses and Joshua and Paul. And come on. John gets the revelation as a prisoner on the Isle of Patmos. We'd be whining and moaning and look where I'm at for doing the work for the Lord. Come on, I'm talking to myself this morning. What stirs you? Moses on the mountain, he gets the Ten Commandments.
Old Joshua's part of the way up the mountain, looking up the mountain, waiting on Moses. Boy, the man's going to come down with something from God. He's on the mountain of God. He's going to come down, and he's hungry for it. It represents the rapture church, Joshua on the side of the mountain. You mean all them other people ain't going? I done told you 1% is all's going. I give you scripture for that. Listen. A lot of people say, well, I'll wait for the rapture of the church to get saved. It'll be so few, most churches will carry on just like normal. Moses starts coming down carrying them big old tables. Joshua sees him. Oh, man, he's glowing. Wow, that's a man of God. Bringing the word of God to us. He comes down and verse 17, it says, and when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there's a noise of war in the camp. The real deal, the power of God is in the camp, Moses. God is in this. I hear him. Moses, you've been up there and God's already down here. Moses said to him, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, command of a situation. Neither is the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but it's the noise of them that sing do I hear. He said, God's not in it. It's just a bunch of noise. Ain't no power in it. What does power do? It transforms lives. That's what the power of the blood does, transform lives. And lives not getting transformed, the power is not there. We sing, we got the power in the name of Jesus. Well, has it transformed you? If it hasn't, you don't have the power. Verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh to the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot. He got stirred. Why didn't he just walk on down there and say, well, hey, let me get in here and dance with y'all? No, no, no. I'm telling you, Moses is like the church. We need to get stirred. When we see the golden calves and we see the dancing and we see the lifestyle of the church world, and they're not really after God, but after their own pleasure. He cast the tables out of his hand. See, he went a little far. You know, Ephesians 4, 4th chapter says, be angry and sin not. He just took the tables, and next time he had to chisel them dudes out himself. Amen. But listen. And he brake them beneath the mount, and he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in fire and ground it to powder and strawed it up on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. And then he went to the gate and he said, he that's on the Lord's side, come over. And he said, every man arm your swords. And he said, go through. And they slew them. Amen. What was it? 3,000 of them died there. Amen. Why? He said, a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. And if you don't get it out of your life, you'll die. If you don't get it out of the church, it'll die. Don't be fooled, church. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Got to stand. Amen. If the footmen have wearied you, how are you going to contend with the horses? You've heard me say it before that most of the time the church world, every service comes, the church is having to get saved all over again. We're going to get saved and do a work for God. If you can't serve him in a time of peace, you can't get excited about him in a time of peace. When God has given you, I mean, we don't have enough time. You know, you talk to people say, why don't you come to church? Well, I don't have time. My God, you know, when you cook a meal, you just go in there and turn a little eye on it and cook it up. You don't have to go out and chop wood and get a stove going. And amen. Drive up to McDonald's and they tell you to park it. You go ballistic. Lord, help us. Forgive us, God. Lord, help us to search our own life. Help us to begin right here in our own church. God, I want to be stirred. Lord, when you give me a word, I want to speak that word to those people. I want to help them, Lord. I want to see them saved. I want to see them changed. Lord, help me, God, to pull my loved ones aside and talk to them seriously, seriously, God. Because they could not wake up one morning and be laying in a bed dead. God, help me. In the name of Jesus. Are you stirred today? I'm about to ask you to stand. Are you stirred today? Does sin stir you? Does evil stir you? Does the wickedness of this world stir you? Do the things you see on the news stir you? Come on. If you're not, you need to come and pray, Lord, help me, God. I need to be stirred. Forgive me, God, for not being stirred. Are you ready on three? Here we go. One, two, three. Stand up all over this house and obey the Lord this morning. You obey the word this morning. If you've run with the footman and they weird you, what you going to do with the horses? The storms come. What you going to do?
Amen.
If you can't half serve God when things are good, how you going to serve Him when temptation comes? When the storms come, when situations come arise in your life. And
Jesus, do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him.